It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game on News Talk 1400. You can also hear our show online at newstalk1400.net and podcasts available at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our News Talk 1400 studios just outside the city limits of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And just a programming note, The Game will be on Tuesday nights in the month of May, as my umpiring schedule is busy pretty much every Monday, so we've moved The Game to Tuesday nights through May, and we will resume being back on our regular Monday nights starting in June. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be joined by Mark Yule, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, who will join co-host Butch Davis and I at the bottom of the hour. We will stay with Butch Davis, co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, who will join us to talk about what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports region and around the area, along with him sitting down for the sports roundtable at 7 o'clock and our special guest, Paul Van Wagner from The Drive on ESPN Blacksburg. But as always, we start with local sports, and we have a lot of local sports to cover over the past 8 days. And let's start with high school softball. Last Monday, Sioux High opened at Straits Area Conference softball competition with a doubleheader sweep over St. Ignace. The Blue Devils won the first game 13-5. Lucy Husky, she went 3-for-4, while Paris Cagaris, Hannah Maurer, Audrey Smith, and Morgan Brown had 2 hits apiece to lead the Sioux's 13-hit effort. Smith also had a home run and a triple, while Maurer and Husky added triples in game one. The Blue Devils completed the sweep last Monday by knocking off St. Ignace 19-1 in 3 innings. Maurer, she hits another home run, while Cagaris was 2-for-3, and Haley O'Connor had a double among the Sioux's 6 hits. As Ms. Bergeron, she would pitch 3 innings for the win, allowing 1 run on 4 hits for the Sioux High Blue Devils. Last Monday, the Sheboygan Chiefs, they swept past Pickford in Straits Area Conference softball play. The Chiefs finished with 30 hits in the doubleheader, and they won the opening game 13-5 over Pickford. Lucy Bennon, 2-for-3, and scored 3 runs for the Panthers, while Laura Bush and Morgan Fox had 1 hit apiece. The Chiefs completed the sweep by beating the Panthers 13-3 in the second game. Bennon, Bush, and Emma Wallace finished with 1 hit each for the Panthers. And Pickford continued play on Thursday as they swept a Straits Area Conference softball doubleheader at Newberry. Panthers won game one 15-0. In the opening game, Morgan Fox, she was 2-for-2, scoring 2 runs, while Laura Bush, Ava Nettleton, Finley Hudacek, Madison Thermos, and Anna Blankhorn also had hits for the Panthers. Hudacek also pitched in that game, pitching a 1-hitter over 3 innings, striking out 5 and walking none. Pickford would win game 2 by the count of 21-9. Hudacek and Bush both had 3 hits for the Panthers, while Morgan Fox had 2, as Pickford sweeps that Straits Area Conference doubleheader on Thursday. Sioux High Blue Devils continued their play over the past week on Saturday at the Hillman Invitational, and Sioux High secured a runner-up showing in that Invitational. The Blue Devils knocked off Rogers City in their tournament opener by the score of 12-3. Paris Cagaris, Lucy Husky, and Audrey Smith were each 3-for-4 for the Blue Devils, while Hannah Maurer and Haley O'Connor added 2 hits each. Husky and Maurer also homered, while Audrey Smith had 2 doubles. Husky, O'Connor, and Cagaris also had doubles among the Sioux's 16 hits. On the mound, Danica Bergeron, she pitches 7 innings. Collecting the win, she allowed 3 runs on 10 hits while striking out 11 and walking none. In the tournament championship game, the Hillman Tigers knocked off the Suhai Blue Devils 12-1. Maurer, Gussie Smith, Bergeron, and Morgan Brown had 1 hit each for the Blue Devils. Suhai was scheduled to play Newberry this past Monday, but those games were postponed. And the Blue Devils now 5-7-1 on the season. They are scheduled to visit a very good Sheboygan team on Thursday. Rudyard Bulldogs softball, they finish 0-3 at the Inland Lakes Softball Invitational on Saturday. Host Inland Lakes, they knocked off Rudyard in the opening game 13-2. Eve Cheney compiled 2 hits for the Bulldogs, while Kirsten Martin had a double for Rudyard. Now 0-7 overall, as they are rebuilding a bit with that state final runner-up from last season. They got a lot of younger players now, but I would not count them out one bit. Rudyard played better in their second game, but came up short against Inland Lakes, losing 4-1. Cheney pitched, allowing 4 runs on 6 hits over 5 innings, while striking out 7 and walking 6. And Rudyard would fall in their third game on Saturday to Boyne City by the score of 18-5. Megan Postma, she was 2-for-2 to lead the offense for Rudyard. Rudyard's games against Pickford yesterday, they were canceled due to the weather. The Bulldogs are now scheduled to host the Panthers on May 19th. Moving on to high school baseball, from a week ago Monday, Suhai, they knocked off St. Ignace twice on the road as they won the opening game 20-3 in 3 innings. 4 pitchers for the Blue Devils combined on a no-hitter. They were Denvey McCord, Jacob Davey, Ethan Adair, and Josh Lumpston. Sue would score 13 runs in the first inning, and Ian Earle and Ethan McDonald both finished 3-for-4. Blue Devils completed the sweep over St. Ignace a week ago Monday, taking the second game 15-0 in 4 innings, as Adair and Haller pitched 2 innings each, allowing the Saints just 1 hit, while striking out 12 and walking 2. Leading the Suhai offense, Avery Wilson, he hit 2 doubles and drove in 5 runs for the Bulldogs, or for the Blue Devils, rather. Speaking of the Bulldogs, I moved ahead a bit in my notes. Rudyard, they could not get it going down in Sheboygan last Thursday as they fell to the Chiefs by the score of 12-0 and 3-1. In Game 1, Aiden Bickle, Cam Peterson, and EJ Suggett had the only hits for the Rudyard Bulldogs. In Game 2, as I mentioned, the Bulldogs fall 3-1. Peterson and Suggett had the hits for Rudyard in that one. Rudyard was scheduled to play Pickford this past Monday, but that did not happen. But they did play over the weekend at the Inland Lakes Bulldog Baseball Invitational. Much better showing by the Bulldogs as they go 2-0-1. As well, Inland Lakes, they go 2-0-1. And the tournament champion was decided by a tie-breaking coin flip. That's a tough way to lose a tournament, but they had to do it down in Inland Lakes. Rudyard would win Game 1 at 12-0 over Ellsworth as EJ Suggett pitched a no-hitter for the Bulldogs. Suggett also hit a home run in that game. Aiden Bickle, Cam Peterson, and Tate Besteman, and Suggett compiled 2 hits each for the Bulldogs in Game 1. Another good pitching performance in Game 2 as the Bulldogs would knock off number 12-ranked Boyne City 4-1. Brett Mayer on the mound allowed just 1 run on 5 hits while striking out 9 and walking just 1 over 5 innings. Rudyard generated 8 hits led by Morgan Bickle, EJ Suggett, and Tate Besteman, who had 2 hits each. And in that final game, Rudyard would tie Inland Lakes by a 3-3 count. Warner had a single and a double in that one. Tate Besteman on the mound, 5 2/3 inning, giving up 3 runs on 2 hits, 6 walks, while striking out 4. As I mentioned, Rudyard was scheduled to play Pickford yesterday. Those games were postponed due to the wet field conditions, and the Straits Area Conference doubleheader, that one is scheduled for Thursday, May 19th in Rudyard. Rudyard will be at Newberry this Thursday. 1230 WSO continues our coverage of Suhai Blue Devil Athletics. Dave Watson will be on the road twice coming up this week. Starting on Thursday, big Straits Area Conference games against Sheboygan. 2 games, pregame show 4:05 over on 1230 WSO with a 4:15 start. The second game will start a little after 6 o'clock. And then Dave will travel to Alpena on Saturday for the Alpena tournament. First game against Ogama Heights at 12, pregame 11:50 on 1230 WSOO. And the second game against Alpena around 2 p.m. or about 15 to 30 minutes after game one. Moving on to high school track and field, as the Suhai girls, they claimed their second straight track and field meet this past Friday, finishing first at the Manistique Kiwanis Invitational. Blue Devils would get first place with 129 points in the 12-team girls meet. Marquette was second, Escanaba third. Cassie Gallagher, she doubled up in the distance events for the Blue Devils, rather, winning the 1600 and the 3200. Joanne Arbick, she won the discus. Claire Erickson, she took first place in the 300 low hurdles. Blue Devils also had good finishes on the relay teams, as Gallagher, Olivia Laurie, Dana Zabo, and Walter won the 3200 relay, while Isabella DeWilt, Kenzie Bell, Bella Smith, and Jayla Jorgensen, they take first in the 400 relay. Boys were won by Marquette, who had 151 points, followed by Pickford and Suhai. John Willis for the Blue Devils, he took first in the 800 run. The Pickford Panther boys, they racked up points in the relay competition as Cole Warner, Aaron Heal, Caden Aubrey, and Noah Borowski, they won the 800 relay, while Aubrey, Josh Sullivan, Heal, and Hunter Hagen, they win the 1600 relay, while Sullivan, Garrett Orsborn, Hayden Hagen, and Hunter Hagen, they win the 3200 relay. Engadine's Mateus Miller, he won the shot put in that meet. And over the weekend, the Webb Morrison Invitational track meet was held in Pickford. The Pickford boys and St. Ignace girls claimed the titles. Pickford won the boys meet, followed by St. Ignace and Newberry. Caden Aubrey of Pickford, he wins two individual events and was part of two first place relay teams. Aubrey won both the 110 hurdles and the 300 hurdles. Noah Broski, he wins the 100 meters, while Hayden Hagen wins the 3200. Aubrey, Aaron Heal, Hunter Hagen, and Borowski, they win the 800 relay, while Aubrey, Sullivan, Heal, and Hunter Hagen, they win the 1600 relay. Garrett Orsborn, Hayden Hagen, and Hunter Hagen, they take first place in the 3200 relay. Christian Kovanemi of St. Ignace, he finishes first in the 200, while the Saints' Owen Lester, he wins the pole vault, and Reese McLean wins the long jump. The Saints' Trevor Visnaw, Johnny Ingalls, Reese McLean, and Christian Kovanemi, they win the 400 relay, while Cedarville's Haas Sweeney took first in the 1600 and the 800, while Newberry's Matthew Rahilly wins the high jump for the boys. Engadine's Mateus Miller, he wins the shot put. And in the girls' meet, as I mentioned, St. Ignace, they win, followed by Pickford and Brimley. Allie Schultz of St. Ignace wins the 100 and the 200, and she was also part of two winning relay teams. Pickford's Haley Cornwell, she wins the 1600 and 3200, while Brimley's Grace Hill wins the shot put and discus. Vivian Carrick took first place in the high jump. Rudyard's Tristan Smith wins the 400, while Cheyenne Ballard takes top spot in the 100 hurdles. Cedarville's Liliana Kaysen wins the 800, while Haley Coleman took a victory in the 300 hurdles. Newberry's Addison Schrader, Azaria Jackson, Georgia Suriano, and Kaylin Clark win the 3200. And St. Ignace, they are scheduled to host the 35th annual Kiwanis Invitational on Thursday. So that is a look at high school sports, but we have more local sports to cover. Coming up, we'll take a look at the junior hockey scene along with Lake Superior Athletics and more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75 and Rudyard, inviting you to stop in and see the largest selection of equipment in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. To complement our full line of Mahindra tractors, we have trailers including goosenecks, dumps, cargos, car haulers, and utility trailers. We also have a full line of lawn and garden equipment with Cub Cadet and X-Mark. Over 50 mowers to choose from, a full line of parts, and we service what we sell. Looking for an outdoor wood or pellet furnace or parts? We stock water pumps, exchangers, spec supplies, and more. Also, check out our full line of Boss and Fisher snow and ice equipment. Here at Gaylor Thompson and Rudyard, we are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon, for your convenience. Just off I-75 and Rudyard, 30 minutes from the bridge. If you need it, we have it. Give us a call at 906-478-3026. Hope to see you here.
Now featuring aluminum trailers from Sport LLC. Hurry in, these trailers are moving fast.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. They understand that life happens, and so do overdrafts from time to time. Stop into one of their 9 locations and ask the CSB family about their overdraft coverage options, like an overdraft sweep, where they can automatically transfer your money from one account to another to cover overdrafts. Apply for a personal reserve account, that is a line of credit to cover overdrafts, or ask about their new overdraft privilege program for qualifying accounts. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want for today's world. Get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank. Subject to credit approval, fees may apply. Member FDIC, EHL.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
6:17 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by our special guest, Mark Yule, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, along with our co-host, Butch Davis. But we have more local sports to cover in the meantime, and let's start with the Ontario Hockey League and the Sioux Greyhounds. The Greyhounds were up 2-0 as we last had our broadcast a week ago Monday. This past Tuesday, the Hounds would fall to Guelph 6-3 in game three. And then the Hounds would get a big overtime victory on Thursday in Guelph 5-4 as the Hounds took a 3-1 series lead back to the GFL Memorial Gardens on Saturday. And they locked it up in style as they knock out Guelph out of the Western Conference quarterfinal by winning game 5-6-0. So the Hounds win their semifinal series, rather quarterfinal series, 4-1, and still awaiting their opponent. Windsor, the top seed, could be their opponent if things hold form in the West as the Spitfires, they knock out Sarnia in 6 games. But 2 other series are going on, and both game sixes are tonight. London, the 2 seed in the West, they're up 3-2 over Kitchener with game 6 in Kitchener tonight. And Flint, the 3 seed, they're also up 3-2 in their best of 7 quarterfinal series against Owen Sound with game 6 in Owen Sound tonight. If both those series wrap up tonight, then the Sioux Greyhounds will face the top seed Windsor Spitfires in their Western Conference semifinal. However, if there are some upsets, the Hounds could take on either London, Flint, or Owen Sound. They can't take on the 7th seed Kitchener, but they could take on any of those 3 opponents. We will know either tonight or by the end of the week who the Hounds will play in their semifinal series. East in the Ontario Hockey League, it is set. All 4 top seeds advance, including top seed Hamilton. They'll take on Mississauga in their semifinals in the East, and 2nd seeded North Bay, they will take on Kingston. The Sioux Greyhounds had a lot of selections in the 2022 OHL Priority Selection Draft, which was held this past week with their first pick. The Sioux Greyhounds welcome Christopher Brown to the program as the 5'10", 156 centerman played this past season with the New York Rangers. of the U16 at AAA Hockey Club in 46 games. Brown recorded 19 goals and 41 assists. In the second round, the Hounds take a goaltender, Landon Miller, of the Vaughn Kings under-16 team. Pair of picks in the third round, the Hounds would take Broden McConnell Barker. He is the younger brother of current Sioux Greyhound Bryce McConnell Barker. As well, the Hounds would make several other picks, including Alex Kostoff in the 58th pick position from the Markham Majors under-16 team, and plenty of other picks in the second round, including Matthew Vergillo of St. Andrews College. He is going to play his school at the university, or his college rather, at the University of Michigan beginning in 2024. Several other picks in the later rounds, so the new Sioux Greyhounds have been chosen, and it's a lot of them. And good luck to them as they attempt to make the big club next season. Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Eastern Finals wrapped up last week as the Timmins Rock. They did force a Game 7 against Hearst as they would win Game 6 3-1, and then Hearst would end up winning that series in 7 games and taking on the Sioux Thunderbirds in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League Finals. And the Sioux Thunderbirds 26 game winning streak ended on Sunday as the Lumberjacks would knock off the Sioux Thunderbirds 6-4 in Game 1. And then last night at the John Rhodes Community Center, Riley Klugerman's second goal of the game, coming with just 2.5 minutes remaining in the third period, lifted the Hearst Lumberjacks to a 3-2 win over the Sioux Thunderbirds in Game 2 of their Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League final at the GFL Memorial Gardens. And so now Hearst, they lead the best of 7 series 2-0, heading into Game 3, which will be in Hearst on Thursday. So the Thunderbirds up against it. The next 2 games will be in Hearst. And if there is a Game 5, that game will be played at the John Rhodes Community Center on Sunday at 7 p.m. And the winner of this series will advance to the Centennial Cup, which will be played in Estevan, Saskatchewan, as the Dudley Hewitt Cup not being played this season due to the pauses of many of the Canadian Junior Hockey Leagues. And so the Sioux Thunderbirds or Hearst Lumberjacks will join the Estevan Hockey Club out of the Saskatchewan League, the Estevan Bruins, along with the Flin Flon Bombers, one of my favorite names in all of junior hockey. The Alberta Junior Hockey League will see either Brooks or Spruce Grove at that event. In the Manitoba Junior Hockey League, either Dolphin or Steinbach. That series is tied at 1 game apiece. In the Superior International Junior Hockey League, Red Lake, they advanced to the Centennial Cup as they knocked off Cam River in 6 games. The Ontario Junior Hockey League, you have the Pickering Panthers taking on the Toronto Junior Canadiens in a best-of-7 series. The Central Canadian Hockey League has Hawkesbury Hawks against the Ottawa Junior A Senators. In Quebec, I'm not even going to attempt these teams. I do not speak French, but I guarantee there'll be a team from Quebec there. And in the Maritimes Hockey League, it'll either be Summerside or Truro joining the 10-team tournament. Again, that one being played in Estevan, Saskatchewan. Lake Superior State University Tennis had their GLIAC championships this past week. The women's team, the 5th seed Lakers, they pulled off an exciting 43 victory over the Ferris State Bulldogs, and the women's team would fall in their next match to the number 1 seeded Northwood Timberwolves 4-0, ending their tournament run. And congratulations to Maddie Whip, who was named the GLIAC Freshman of the Year in women's tennis. Whip put a strong first collegiate season together for the Lakers. As the native from Sydney, Australia, she had an 8-9 record in doubles, but then 10-3 in singles as she began the season playing in the number 4 spot and the number 5 spot before moving to the number 2 spot for the start of the conference season. And in that number 2 single spot, Whip totaled a 5-2 record with 7 matches coming against GLIAC competition. So congratulations to Maddie Whip, named GLIAC Freshman of the year. Laker men's team, they would fall to the 3-seed Grand Valley State Lakers this past Friday by the score of 4-0, ending their season. The Lakers would record one doubles victory by Juno Cantola and Aaron Osmond. The GLIAC Track and Field Championships will be held this upcoming week. I believe that one will start on Thursday at Grand Valley State University. So best of luck to all the Laker runners that are participating in that event. The Laker men's basketball team had their team award banquet this past weekend, and senior guard Malik Adams, he received the Most Valuable Player Award. Freshman guard Tyson Edmondson was named the team's best newcomer. Senior guards Jaden Perry and Justin Fisher, they were dual recipients of the Bud Cooper Coaches Award. Freshman center Kingsley Perkins, he receives the Most Improved Player Award. Junior guard CJ Robinson, he is now the two-time recipient of the Chris Bull Award. This award is presented to the student athlete that best exemplifies toughness and a willingness to sacrifice himself for the betterment of the team. And junior guard Xander Okerlund, was the recipient of the Tom Thornton Award, which is presented to the student athlete who persevered and never gave up and was a great teammate. So those are some of the awards from the past week and Laker basketball. And one other local sports note, this just broke earlier today. Adam Nightingale, a Michigan State alumnus and a kind of a local guy, Sheboygan, Michigan, played his college hockey at Lake Superior State. He was named the 8th head coach in Michigan State hockey history. Nightingale comes to Michigan State after 2 seasons as head coach of the United States National Development Team program, and brings 4 years of NHL experience serving as an assistant coach for the Detroit Red Wings in 2019 and 2020. And Nightingale also has been up here in Sault Ste. Marie, taking his under-17 team to Puller Stadium to take on the Sioux Eagles. And certainly somebody that's very familiar to listeners around here, coming from Sheboygan as well, playing his college hockey, as I mentioned, at Lake Superior State for a couple years, and then ending his playing career at Michigan State in 2003 and 2005. Nightingale's family includes his wife, Kristen, and 3 children, Trevor, Emerson, and Keaton. His older brother, Jason, is the assistant director of amateur scouting for the Buffalo Sabres. And his younger brother, Jared, is also a Spartan alumnus and currently the assistant coach of the Rockford Ice Hogs of the American Hockey League. So congratulations to Adam Nightingale. I'm getting my Nightingales mixed up here. Good addition to Michigan State, and I think he will probably do very good things there. We are going to take a break here on the game. Coming up here in about 3 minutes, we'll be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports and our special guest, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Mark Yule, joining us once again on the game. We will be back in 3 minutes. You are listening to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
We are Buzzsports!
And here's what you need to know.
The Celtics try to even up their series tonight with the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals, but they're going to have to do so without Marcus Smart. The Athletic reports that Smart is not going to play tonight because of a thigh contusion. Tip-off 7 o'clock Eastern time. Bucks up 1-0 in the best-of-7 series. Game 2 between the Warriors and Grizzlies is at 9:30 Eastern time tonight in Memphis. Warriors up 1-0 in that series. Heat are up 1-0 on the Sixers, playing tomorrow's Game 2 in Miami. Miami will be without guard Kyle Lowry for the game, already ruled out because of his hamstring injury. Sixers center Joel Embiid not likely to play in the game, but head coach Doc Rivers did say that Embiid feels a lot better as he's dealing with a concussion and orbital fracture. Phil Jackson assisting the Lakers in their search for a new head coach. That's according to a report from ESPN. Liverpool onto the Champions League final, beating Villarreal today 3-2, winning on aggregate 5-2 to advance to the final. Shohei Ohtani in the lineup for the Angels tonight against Boston.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
Taking a look at your News Talk 1400 weather forecast. For tonight, we've got decreasing clouds, low of around 36 or 2. Wednesday, sunshine, high of 52 or 11. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low of 36 or 2. Sunny Thursday as the warm-up begins, high of 60 or 16. Partly cloudy Thursday night, and Friday, best day of the week, mostly sunny, 62 or 17.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us to interview our special guest, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, how you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah, I'm just hanging along here, my friend, hanging along.
That's what we like to hear, Butch. And joining us on the game, our special guest tonight, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Mark Yule, joining us once again on the game. Mark, appreciate you taking time out and joining us. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing good. Good to be with you guys again.
Well, it's great to be with you, Mark. And I'll ask the first question. We'll rotate between Butch and I. We're heavy into the spring sports schedule, Mark, as we have baseball, softball, track and field, soccer, golf, lacrosse, and tennis all going on across the state of Michigan. Of course, here in the northern regions, still trying to get on some fields and have the snow melted. But from an MHSAA perspective, Mark, how is the spring sports season going so far, and can you give us some updates?
It's gone okay. You're exactly right, Scott, that weather has been a huge challenge, and that isn't just for our listeners in the Upper Peninsula, but that has been downstate as well. Cold temperatures, tons of rain, and of course, still up in Copper Country, Sean Jocks, who's the athletic director at Calumet, they still have nearly 2 feet of snow on their track and on their field. So weather has certainly been a challenge, but it's a good feeling to report that we're not COVID testing, that COVID seems each and every day to be further and further in the rear view mirror. And so most of our school people can work around some weather situations, just given the fact now that it's really full speed ahead with hopefully the virus now behind us.
Go ahead, Butch.
Yeah, well, let me piggyback on that particular question and ask you there. Are some of those teams that maybe right now have some difficulty playing, are they going to be moved around, shelved around? Is there a time limit for all games to be played before playoffs and other things come around?
So actually, Butch, something we kind of reminded schools of during COVID is you're able to play regular season games all the way up until the day of our state finals in each sport. So our baseball and softball teams, even after you're eliminated in maybe the district tournament, you're still able to play regular season games up until, I think this year it's June 17th. Track meets are still able to go into early June. So there is some flexibility built in. The neat thing about most of our spring sports is there's not a weekly limitation. So, for example, a baseball or a softball team could play every single day of the week during the spring, to where with basketball you're limited to no more than 3 games in a week. So hoping and praying that our weather gets better here later in the month of May, and that schools can hopefully make up for lost time and get as many games in as possible.
Mark, one of the issues that we're having up here, and I'm sure we are not alone, is lack of officials. I've moved our show to Tuesday nights here because I umpire pretty much every Monday night. And let's just say job security for yours truly is very good, because I have been offered a ton of games, many of which I can't do. I just got an email from one of our association heads that they're looking for 9 umpires for Thursday as they have 18 games. I know the Michigan High School Athletic Association is trying to promote, you know, more officials coming in. What are some of the things that you want to continue to do and some of the things maybe in the future to look, you know, at not just softball, but also all the sports? Because, you know, lack of officials in this area is very high.
It's actually, Scott, that way all across our state. This is really reaching a crisis standpoint to where, you know, I could give you a 50-year snapshot, and our officials' numbers go up and down in direct relation to the economy. So we had record-high numbers of officials back in the mid-2000s when those were some of the darkest economic times in at least my 48 years here on Earth. You now fast forward to today. You know, it's kind of a weird economy to where the economy is really pretty good. You had a bunch of people that during COVID were being paid not to work or not to do anything. And so we've got some of those challenges out there. Plus, what we continue to hear over and over again is the thing that drives officials away is the way that the sportsmanship from coaches and then lack of sportsmanship from adult spectators, the issues of pay and working with the kids. Those tend to be a little ways down on the list when we survey our former officials. So we've really got to work hard to try and improve the working conditions. Because if we don't get this pendulum to start to swing back the other way, I mean, you alluded to it, you know, schools are now going to have to schedule games based on, well, what days can we find umpires?
Right.
What days can we find officials? And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it's a great way to stay active, a great way to stay fit, a great way to stay connected to young people, and a great way to put some extra money in your pocket is through officiating. And that's just a drum we have to continue to beat as we move forward.
Okay. Well, y'all got me in a pickle here. Let me ask you something, Mark, here. I read one of your articles some little time back there. I'm going to give you one of your quotes there. When you attend an athletic event that involves your son or daughter, cheer your heart's content, enjoy the camaraderie of the high school sports offered, and have fun. But when it comes down to verbally criticizing the officials or coaches, cool it. You did say it's passionate and admired for you to root for the home team, but you're really have a very good catch of the public maybe chasing away these particular umpires away from the sport.
You're right. It's, you know, you watch parents how they act at a basketball game, and, you know, they figure that Tom Izzo or Juwan Howard is hanging out in the hallway ready to give away scholarships. That is just not the case. You know, to me, the craziest part is the parent behavior is not only driving officials out, but I hear a story after story of people getting out of coaching, not because it has anything to do with the kids or the pay or the length of seasons, but it's they just don't want to continue to be verbally beat up and then beat up on social media by parents who are trying to relive, you know, their past glory through their own kids. You know, there's often a joke that the best coaching jobs and the best refereeing jobs are at the orphanage because, of course, all you have to work with is just the kids. You don't have the parent involvement. Clearly tongue-in-cheek, but I think there's a real lesson there that you know, parents need to count to 10 and take a breath. We would not tolerate one adult treating another adult in any other walk of life that we allow fans or spectators to treat officials. If that went on in any other place of business, that conduct could not be put up with. You would be calling security or law enforcement. And I just think that if parents can take a step back and have a little bit better perspective, it's going to be best for everybody. My hope is that coming out of COVID, we'd find kind of this new sense of, you know, we're just thankful to be able to play again. And unfortunately, you know, parents as a whole are, I think, going back to some of those bad behaviors. And that just tells us that we really have to continue to take this problem head on and try and continue to improve the culture.
Mark Yule joining us on the game, executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And Mark, you know, looking at the fall and winter sports season, you're able to get pretty much all the games in, all the championships in, from an overall perspective, just on the whole year from the MHSA, obviously much, much improved from the past two seasons. Just if you would have said starting the school year that on May 3rd, we would be at this point, would you have taken that?
I would have taken it, and I was hopeful going into the fall. And to be honest, our COVID situation today is kind of what I was hoping on in the fall. What I don't think anybody expected is that we had our biggest peak of cases through the winter. And right. I'll admit there were some nervous days during December and January, and and some of your listeners may think I'm being a little cynical or sarcastic, but if you look at our numbers this winter compared to a winter ago, I'm shocked that we didn't have another government shutdown. And the cynical part of me says, thank goodness that this was an election year and last year wasn't. I understand people were trying to make the best decisions possible and they were following the science and the data. But truth be told, it just seems like some of the COVID data kind of got moved to the sidelines this winter, and seemed like some decisions were being made more based on maybe some political implications.
But, absolutely.
Neither here nor there. We're turning the page. We're moving forward. And we're just thankful for the spot we're in right now.
Go ahead, Butch.
Speaking of moving the page there, I'm reading this little article there also there about the council approved the basketball committee. You're going to be allowing a couple more games for the 22-23 season there, and I'm trying to get a grasp on that. Could you explain how this particular committee come to this and the rules that is going to be pertaining for the varsity, the junior varsity, and the freshman?
So our Basketball Coaches Association, better known as BCAM, which is their acronym, they have been asking for an increase in regular season games for a number of years. My kind of basis of comparison is, what do the other Big Ten states allow? I really don't pay too much attention to what high school teams are able to do in Texas or California. Kind of my ruler or benchmark is what's going on in the other nine Big Ten states in terms of the number of games, because we all are essentially rooted in the Midwest, similar weather, and we are in almost all other sports, Butch, either in the middle or at the top of the number of games that we allow schools to play in the regular season. The one that was the real outlier was basketball and only allowing 20 games. Illinois, which, by the way, I think is crazy, they allow 31 regular season games. But most of the other Big Ten states were somewhere between 22 to 24 games. So we did add the extra two games. We did actually shorten the season by a week on the calendar. We're going to allow schools to play games after 2 weeks of practice rather than 3 weeks, which should give them a little more flexibility to get games in. So I think this hit everybody's sweet spot. You know, athletic director said the winter season's too long. All right, so we reduced that by a week on the calendar. And on the same token, our basketball community said, we'd like to have two more games to be on par with some of our other Big Ten states. And we made that happen as well. And, having a high school basketball player myself, and Maddie's got three more years left being a high school player. I know I just speak for my daughter that she is beyond excited of the increase to 22 games.
Let me follow up with this on that. Will it be a little bit more difficult? I know it's not going to be difficult for somewhere like Detroit or Flint or something of this nature there. Those are urban cities there. But will it be a little bit more difficult for the rural schools and whatnot to get around to get those extra two games in there?
It could be, Butch. Now, remember, 22 is the allowed maximum. If schools, whether it be for travel or for budget or for other reasons, if they want to stay at a 20-game schedule, they're able to do that. You know, the one thing that we've heard is what this actually might allow is for a couple of extra games to be added against your local neighbor. Maybe you've got that school where there is a difference in size that they don't happen to be in your league or conference. And, we wanted to have scheduled them for years, but we just never had enough available dates. Well, maybe this might be that opening for that. Plus, you know, we've heard from schools that they'd like to play a game over the holiday break, and that gives them a little more flexibility as well.
Okay.
Mark Ewell joining us on the game, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And Mark, my final question comes from my umpiring partner, again, kind of from an official's perspective here. He was talking about his belief that the MHSAA should be involved more in having a uniformed pay rate for sports officials. You know, going around the umpiring community, you know, schools have different rates, and his thought was, why should an umpiring crew in East Jordan pay less than a doubleheader in Ann Arbor? From an umpire standpoint, it's basically the same work and responsibility in both locations. Is that something the MHSA has or would look at? And I just wanted your thoughts in general.
Really interesting question. From a legal standpoint, officials are independent contractors.
Yep.
The MHSAA would set a statewide pay scale. The relationship then looks more like employer-employee, and I don't mean to get legalese on your show.
Sure.
But, you know, right now officials are hired by schools. They're paid by schools. I can tell you my former life as a college baseball umpire, I know that, you know, I worked in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And we made good money in the Big Ten, but I would have loved to have been paid like the umpires do in the SEC or some of the other states.
Right.
And of course, you know, travel is different. You know, schools in the UP or Northern Lower Michigan, they actually might have a higher game fee or have some mileage included because maybe a typical trip is a lot further than, you know, someone who's in the Metro Detroit area or Grand Rapids to where you've got 30 different schools all within about a 15-mile radius. So, you know, in not just in officiating, but with everything, because our state is so diverse,
yep,
our state is so spread out, there are so many differences, it's hard to create hard and fast rules that really work for everybody, and that's why when it comes to officiating and officials' pay, it really is an independent contractor model.
Butch, your final question for Mark.
Yeah, I'll give this final one there. You know, we talked about the bad things about the officiating, whatever may be there. But let me add this to it. You know, I'm a school teacher, okay, per se. And you talk to some of the younger kids in there. A lot of them, many kids don't know when you're a senior in high school, maybe a junior, you can start training to be an official umpire. And I kind of want to know, is there a program designed where you can get this particular word out to a particular high school student, and, you know, if they decide they want to be an umpire or an official or in swimming or whatever it may be, how they can go about it with the state of Michigan?
So the first thing is, you know, folks can visit our website, MHSAA.com, and click on the officials button, and you can get to all our information there. We do have over 100 of our high schools that actually have anywhere from a 3 to 5 week school education curriculum, actually have an officiating unit to where our office provides curriculum materials, provide rule books. We give information to the instructor and the approximately kind of month long unit. Those kids can then actually become registered with us and start working either junior high games or sub-varsity games. So we also have many of our 2- and 4-year colleges around the state. We also support officiating classes. You know, we do actually have a lot of younger people that officiate, especially during their college years. Where we lose them is when they get through school and get that first job or start their family. That's kind of the age group that we struggle with. But MHSAA.com, click on the officials button, and we can get you pointed in the right direction.
And I'll just say it's a lot of fun and a pleasure to be doing it, Mark. I've been officiating now for 10 years and have rarely had any problems. And it's a great way, like you said, to get involved. And, hey, making some extra bucks on the side doesn't hurt either, does it?
No, it doesn't. And for guys, Scott and Butch and me, and it also keeps you young in heart. The more that you're around young people, I think it's good for the soul as well. So, encourage all your listeners, get involved. Pick up a whistle. We need you.
Mark, as always, we thank you for joining us on the game and look forward to talking to you maybe before the fall sports season. Have a great rest of your school year, if you will. Enjoy your summer. We'll talk to you in August here on the game. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Get some rest, man. Get some rest.
Will do.
All right. We're going to take a break. Butch Davis is going to stick around as we will transition to Detroit sports, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and
all right, Butch, still
a
there?
Submarine crashed all on right. the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Reed Metals and Tafter, your honest main source recycling business, hopes everyone is staying safe. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals also buys copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals. Reed Metals wants to pay you for your scrap metals and scrap vehicles. Reed Metals also offers roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
6:51 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports from the weekend, which you can find on his website, simplybutch2, that's too.podomatic.com, or you can find Butch on Sports on Facebook. Give him a like while you're at it, or on our website, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Butch, appreciate you being part of our interview with Mark Yule. We get him on once a season, always accessible. I just wanted your thoughts on what Mark said.
The thoughts were very outgoing there. Those are the good parts of our season high school-wise there. It has not been a bed of roses, but everyone seems to be chugging along there. And again, we talked about the most important thing right now, you know, that it sticks up like a sore thumb, is the officiating and the lack of there. And it was great to hear that he was giving some honest opinions. And then also the private affair, how we got to conduct ourselves a lot better at these particular ordeals, especially for our children there.
Yeah, if you're looking for a job right now, a part-time job, I highly recommend officiating because they are hiring, Butch. I am asked every day to do games, and obviously with this show, we've had to move it to Tuesday because of my commitments. I appreciate your flexibility in that and our listeners. Yeah, they're just a desperate need, not just for softball and baseball, but all around the map, because I've said it before, Butch, I'm one of the younger guys and I'm not that young. So it's a real good thing for someone to get into. And, you know, you have to go into it with the perspective of, you know, much like I do with this show, I want each show to be better. I want each of the times I'm on the field to be better and, you know, not to have the drama. And, you know, we talk about it a lot on the show. There's always going to be those sticky situations that an official gets in with the coach. just go talk to the coach, explain yourself. Don't be out there, you know, trying to be that I'm this and I'm, this is it. And this is what I call. It's all about talking to each other. We've talked about it a lot, Butch. And you know, to me, I have not had very few, if any, real major problems because of it.
Yeah, maybe because you, how you carry yourself there. And also we got to look at the young kids in high school there. Again, you know, if you don't want to work at a Piggly Wiggly or a supermarket or cut grass or whatever it may be to make an honest buck there, that is something to really look into. And the state of Michigan and also Mark, you expressed that they're investing money. If your program don't have it, that they will help out and get that particular there, because it's a win-win not only for the state of Michigan, but it's a win-win for the person who will be getting a job at a young, early age, not only during the school year there, but also in summer ball and other recreational aspects. That carries a lot of weight there as well.
Butch, we only have a couple minutes here for this segment. At the top of the hour, we'll be joined by our special guest, Paul Van Wagner from ESPN Blacksburg. And we'll continue our Tigers conversation with him because I want to get his take. But Tigers were scheduled to take on Pittsburgh tonight at Comerica Field. That game has been canceled due to rain. They will play a doubleheader on Wednesday starting at 1:10. You know, Butch, a month into the season, Tigers are tied with the worst record in the American League with Kansas City at 7-14, winning just one of their seven series this year. Not the start the Tigers envisioned. You know, the only bright spot has been the bullpen, which we thought was going to be one of their weaknesses. They have one of the best bullpens in the league, but boy, lots of other problems right now with injuries and defense and lack of hitting. Just from what you've seen in April, Butch, what are your biggest issues right now with the Tigers?
Same thing. Defense, starting pitching, well, those are the two things that stick up like a sore thumb there. And again, you can talk about the weather and whatever it may be, which I talk about tremendously there. I still say, you know, it's too late now, but we should have a dome stadium, you know, because of the climate weather that we do have between spring or so-called spring.
Yeah.
Then we get into fall and, you know, you're freezing your tail off. You might get 5 inches of snow in the September. It's very difficult. It's very hard. However, this lands on the coaching staff, really and truly, that picking coach as well as the defensive coach on how this team has put out, you know, in public there. It has not looked very good at all. Many games right now for the Tigers have been somewhat decided by how they play defense and also the starting pitching that has not been up to snuff so far this season.
And the Tigers did make a couple roster moves and they had to reduce their roster from 28 to 26. They placed left-handed pitcher Tyler Alexander on the 15-day injured list retroactive to Saturday, and catcher Dustin Garneau was designated for assignment. We knew this was coming, Butch. The teams could carry 28 players instead of the typical 26-man crew for the first month of the season due to condensed spring training. But, you know, the Tigers have had a lot of moving parts with injuries and stuff. You know, we're going to see tomorrow Alex Fado, one of the prospects, the first-round draft pick in 2017, making their major league start. So we've talked a lot over the years, Butch, about seeing the kids out there. Well, we're seeing them, but maybe a little too early because of all the injuries they've had.
Well, Fado, we're going to see sooner or later anyway.
Right.
There. But, you know, I guess the bottom line is that this is the time that the Tigers got to kind of shake the tree there and find out who wants to be and who don't want to be there. This is based on, again, a 40-man roster where they can go get these particular players that were on the team, or what they can get, you know, that won't cost them an arm and a leg there. Once they go into the minor league system, per se, if they're not on that 40-man roster, there's other moves. Typical moves have to be made, you know, salaries and all this other stuff there, where you, right now the Tigers want to protect as many players as they can. However, it's going to have to come to a point where they're going to have to do some elimination there, because right now we see some Tigers that are not performing very, very well at all.
Butch, we're going to take a quick break here for the top of the hour. When you and I come back, we will have our sports roundtable and be joined by Paul Van Wagner, host of The Drive on ESPN Blacksburg. Always has a lot to say, and we have a lot to talk about. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age, the way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, and Z Series motors and Sidekick utility vehicles, where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Skinner's of Pickford, your tractor source in the north, Pickford, Michigan. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Taking a look at your News Talk 1400 weather forecast. For tonight, we've got decreasing clouds, low of around 36 or 2. Wednesday, sunshine, high of 52 or 11. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low of 36 or 2. Sunny Thursday as the warm-up begins, high of 60 or 16. Partly cloudy Thursday night, and Friday, best day of the week, mostly sunny, 62 or 17.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
Welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. And joining us for the roundtable, our special guest, host of The Drive on ESPN Blacksburg, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., Paul Van Wagner, joining us once again on the game. Paul, always a pleasure to have you on our show. How you doing on this Tuesday night, sir? Yeah, God bless us indeed, Paul. And let's start with the Detroit Tigers. Butch and I were talking about them before you got on the show, Paul, and I wanted your thoughts. Tigers, not the start that many fans envisioned and certainly fans didn't want. 7-14 tied with Kansas City for the worst record in the American League. Their game tonight has been canceled due to rain. They'll play the Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow starting at 1:10 in a doubleheader. Paul, from what you've seen with the Tigers, Butch and I pretty much in agreement with some of the things that we've seen as far as bad pitching, not much hitting, and really bad defense. What are your thoughts so far on the Tigers in April?
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of sums it up, Scott. It's been, I guess, rough would be the best way to describe it. At times they look good. At times you think, okay, maybe this team can contend because, I mean, let's face it, the AL Central, it ain't good, right? Like, no. I mean, nobody expects the team coming out of the AL Central to be the team that wins it all. So, I mean, if you can compete, if you can be in it in August, then, you know, you've got a chance if you're the Tigers. But right now, the way they're currently playing, good Lord, I might lose a chicken wing bet to my buddy Jimmy Cleveland because the Guardians might finish ahead of the Tigers, which would be more painful to me than the Tigers start. I can't lose chicken wing bets. That's a rule.
Yeah, Butch, the good news is the Tigers are in a pretty lackluster division right now. There's still a lot of time in the season, and it's only May, and so baseball is not a sprint. It's a slug. Butch, what do the Tigers need to do to try to right this ship, in your opinion? You know, you're close to the scene. You're at the games. Outside of what we've talked about, what are some of the other things that the Tigers need to do better?
Well, I don't think they're in a lackluster division. I think that's a that's a crapshoot there. I think they're in one of the more tougher divisions there. It just so happened that the same problems that the Tigers have, the Chicago White Sox have with injuries and pitching. Same thing with Minnesota, although they're leading by a little bit. The same thing with Kansas City. Don't look like a very bad team, per se. But again, they do have hitting. They have some connections that basically look bad. And some look very, very good. And we'll talk about Cleveland as well, you know, although I hate the name the Guardians.
Yeah, me too.
It just soaks me up here. But they're not going to be always at the bottom there. They're going to be very competitive. So, again, right now, many of the teams in their division have the same particular problems there. The one thing the Tigers need to work out again, they got to find the players who want to play and going to put out more consistently there. And I don't think they've had that yet. Other than maybe Meadows right now and Javi Baez, occasionally Torkelson does some things. Cabrera, he did all his things early in the season there. He practically carried this team when it comes down to momentum and whatnot. But now we don't see it from the other players as well there, and it's going to make things a lot more difficult with the actual management staff of the Detroit Tigers to find some players that's going to have to do. They got to put the best players on the field. Right now, I don't see that happening.
And, Paul, you know, looking around Major League Baseball after a month in the AL East, the Yankees up 2.5 on Toronto, Boston off to a slow start. We talked about the Central, Minnesota with a 3.5 game lead over Cleveland, the LA Angels, a 2.5 game lead over Houston and Seattle. National League, the Mets off to a great start. They lead the Marlins by 3.5. The Brewers and Cardinals are locked up in a good battle in the NL Central and probably the best race. This one, didn't think we'd involve four teams, but it is right now. The Dodgers, Padres, Giants, and Rockies all separated by a game and a half. You know, of all those races, is there one that stands out to you as maybe a surprise?
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise as much as I disagree with you a little bit, Scott. I expected that NL West to be a four-team race. All four of those teams, I mean, the Dodgers have won a World Series recently. The Padres and the Giants are always competitors, and the Rockies got better. The problem that the NL has is that, you know, you've got the Marlins who look really good. I mean, the Braves are your defending World Series champions. You know, they're not playing great right now, but the Braves, if you remember last year, August 1st, were a sub-500 team. They ended up winning the World Series. Cardinals are good. Brewers are good. In that Central division, the Pirates, the Cubs, and the Reds are trash, man. So the Brewers and the Cardinals are going to continue to whoop up on teams. You potentially could have 90 and maybe even, well, probably not 100 win teams, but you potentially could have 90 win teams in the NL that don't make the playoffs this year, which would be absolutely crazy to me. You know, just kind of looking at that on the AL side of things. I mean, the Yankees are the Yankees, right? Like, they're just buying their championships like they always have. The Angels will end up in fourth place. They always do. You can't pay Mike Trout that ungodly salary and have nothing to support him. They'll drop off at some point, and the AL will end up maybe being the Yankees and everybody else, as much as it pains me to say that.
And Butch, over this past week, Major League Baseball laid down the hammer on Trevor Bauer of the Los Angeles Dodgers, handing out a 324-game suspension, basically two full seasons, the longest punishment under the sport's domestic violence policy since it was instituted in 2015. Bauer released a statement that he will appeal the suspension, making him the first player to do so under the policy. You know, Deshaun Watson is probably thinking his lucky stars he's not playing baseball. Major League Baseball not messing around with Mr. Bauer.
He won't be messing around with Watson either when the NFL gets to the beginning of the season. We ain't heard that close out either there, especially when you're paying money to keep it out of court, okay?
Yep.
So I'm saying with Mr. Bauer there, good luck with his appealing there, and hopefully he has substantial evidence that he did not do what he did. But again, you say things are consensual and whatnot there. How consensual is it? And when bad things happen, that's not consensual there. It's not consensual to get hit in the mouth, okay, doing certain acts of pleasure or principle there. I'm just so sorry for the guy there. But it is what it is right now there. We'll see what goes down the road a piece. It might get shortened a little taste. But Mr. Bauer right now needs to be a salesman or something, or maybe selling some vacuum cleaners or something.
Yeah, Paul, he won't be eligible to pitch until the 19th game of the 2024 season. And while this would cost a lot of teams maybe some wins in the standings, for the Dodgers, they're lucky to have a pretty big payroll and a lot of good players. But, you know, this still has to hurt. I mean, one of their best pitchers, they're losing for 2 years. Not good for the Dodgers.
I got zero sympathy for people that are domestic violencers.
Yep.
So you know what, Trevor Bauer, I got nothing for you, dude. Serve your suspension, get some help, go seek some counseling. You know, whether you did it or not, that's not for me to decide. It does seem like it has been decided that you did it. So, you know what? Like, I got no use for that. I got no use for that dude. He can kick rocks as far as I'm concerned.
I would fully
agree. The St. Paul Saints are, you know, is in his future, I think.
Yes, yeah, somewhere outside of Los Angeles, indeed. Gentlemen, let's move on to the NHL. Let's start with the Detroit Red Wings. Butch, as we've been alluding to now for probably a couple months, if not years, the Detroit Red Wings fired head coach Jeff Blashill on Saturday after seven seasons. Blashill had been one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NHL. The Wings also cleaning house with the two assistant coaches, as Steve Yzerman, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, spoke yesterday talking about that ultimately that was his decision. I felt our team fundamentally that we kind of, I don't even know if we plateaued is the right word, but we had gotten to the point where fundamentally with and without the puck, we had regressed. But really no surprise here. You know, the Wings certainly have a lot of deficiencies outside of coaching. I'm not saying they had those deficiencies with Jeff Blashill, you know, 7 years and what he was handed, to me, he did the best he could. But I think it was a change that needed to be made.
I don't know about the best he can. He lost a lot of games
he
there.
Did.
And for a reason being, he is responsible for his coaching staff as well. It was very plain as day and for weeks and weeks and weeks of this particular season in general, okay? It's been the best the NHL has had for maybe 3 years. He didn't look very well. Defensively, this team was very bad. Goaltending was not as sharp, although I don't blame the goaltenders as much because the initial shots, goaltenders were stopped. When you don't have defense people knocking people on their rear end, or you have no forwards doing no forward checking or whatever it may be, taking and making it difficult for people to get the puck again and shoot it in the net. There's a lot of basic principles here right now that the Detroit Red Wings have not done there. And for all saying, you're going to see a lot more people be cleaned out and also have their bags packed and security lead them out the door there. This is not over by a long shot there. I think Steve Yzerman is more embarrassed than not because, again, we looked at the beginning of the season and the Red Wings seem to be doing very, very well with a young, inexperienced team. But that did not migrate the second half of the season when it came down to playing defense and protecting the goaltender.
And, Paul, you know, Jeff Blashill, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan native, you're rooting for the guy, but it just really came apart in the second half of the season. Unlike the Tigers and the Pistons, we had some hope with the Red Wings at the beginning of the season, you know, bringing in these young defensemen. But, you know, to me, that 9-2 loss at home against Arizona really, I thought, was the death nail as far as Jeff Blashill as head coach. Your thoughts on the Wings this season and the firing of Jeff Blashill? Certainly lots of names names are in the mix. We don't need to get to those tonight because, you know, we're going to find out who the candidates are, I'm sure, very soon. But just your thoughts on the Wings this season.
Just real quick, I got two words for you, John Tortorella. I am not a fire the coach guy. I never have been. We talk about this all the time on The Drive on ESPN. I am all about, you know, you need to look at the entirety of the work. And Steve Yzerman said it, and I'm paraphrasing here, Scott, because I don't remember the exact quote, but he basically said, you can't judge Jeff Blashill as a coach based off of his tenure with the Detroit Red Wings because he was essentially given nothing to work with. And I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. I mean, outside of Dylan Larkin and maybe one or two other guys prior to this season, there has not been anything in Detroit since 2016. So Blashill was dealt a really, really crappy hand to start with. I feel like he made the most out of what he could. I think you'll see Jeff Blashill back behind the bench somewhere in the NHL, and I think he'll be successful, especially if he's given an opportunity with a team that actually has some pieces in place. That being said, I do believe that Steve Yzerman is building towards something in Detroit. Rome was not built in a day. You know, we saw the Red Wings for, what was it, 24 years, whatever that was, that playoff run, you know, and they did it on the backs of guys like Steve Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov. And then, you know, they got other guys in there, Lidstrom and Holmstrom. And you know, I mean, you just had Datsyuk. And like the names just kind of pile on top of each other. They did have great goaltending, you know, guys like Hossett, guys like Vernon, Chris Osgood later on in his career. I think Chris Osgood not being in the Hall of Fame is a travesty. And we can fight about that if you want. I got stats to back me up. But, you know, I mean, you look at this and kind of what Jeff Blashill had. And I feel like he really made putting out of crap the best that he could. Someone is going to get an up-and-coming franchise that is on the upward trend, and they're going to get a lot of credit. I think that people need to remember that Blashill had a lot to do with getting them from the doldrums 3 years ago to where they are right now. And so that's just, you know, that's my feeling on Jeff Blashill. Of course, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Blashill family. I was one of Jim's kids at Lake Superior State University.
Yep.
You know, and they're good people. And I realize that, you know, you don't coach based off of good people, but at the end of the day, like, this is an awesome family. And I think that Jim will land on his feet.
Gentlemen, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will look into the NHL playoffs just starting, and it's already May. We'll talk about that and much more, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75 in Rudyard, inviting you to stop in and see the largest selection of equipment in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. To complement our full line of Mahindra tractors, we have trailers including goosenecks, dumps, cargoes, car haulers, and utility trailers. We also have a full line of lawn and garden equipment with Cub Cadet and X-Mark. Over 50 mowers to choose from, a full line of parts, and we service what we sell. Looking for an outdoor wood or pellet furnace or parts? We stock water pumps, exchangers, spec supplies, and more. Also, Check out our full line of Boss and Fisher snow and ice equipment. Here at Gaylor Thompson and Rudyard, we are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon for your convenience. Just off I-75 in Rudyard, 30 minutes from the bridge. If you need it, we have it. Give us a call at 906-478-3026. Hope to see you here.
Now featuring aluminum trailers from Sport LLC. Hurry in, these trailers are moving fast.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. They live where you live, and they're here to help. They understand that life happens, and so do overdrafts from time to time. Stop into one of their 9 locations and ask the CSB family about their overdraft coverage options, like an overdraft sweep, where they can automatically transfer your money from one account to another to cover overdrafts. Apply for a personal reserve account, that is a line of credit to cover overdrafts, or ask about their new overdraft privilege program for qualifying accounts. Central Savings Bank has all the conveniences you need and want for today's world. Get started by asking what the CSB family can do for you. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank. Subject to credit approval, fees may apply. Member FDIC, EHL.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
7:19 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game, Butch Davis, and our special guest from ESPN Blacksburg, Paul Van Wagner. Butch, I'll go to you first for NHL playoffs as the first round series began last night. 4 games, Carolina over Boston 5-1. The Toronto Maple Leafs shut out Tampa Bay 5-0, a game that included a pretty good brawl in the third period. St. Louis over Minnesota 4-0, and the LA Kings knocking off Edmonton 4-3. Butch, just your comments. Those series are very early, but Toronto Maple Leafs, it's only one game, but Dave McKegan crew got to be happy with what they saw from the Leafs last night.
Dave McKay is right now on a flagpole, okay? He's not coming down there. Toronto Maple Leafs looked fantastic last night there. They outskated, they out-physicality on Tampa Bay. They did every doggone thing right. And really, when you look at the first part of the game for the first 10 minutes, that was a riot, okay? And Toronto just ripped them through the coals and skating and everything else there. Regardless of some of the predicaments they put themselves into with that 5-minute major for the game misconduct, they got over the hump and then some there and looked very offensive while they were doing it short for 5 minutes. That was a doggone good game. For Carolina, they beat up a Boston that right now wasn't ready to play. That's the same thing for Minnesota with St. Louis beating up on them. And also Los Angeles clicking Edmonton, which was a big surprise because you figure Edmonton has all this talent concern there, but L.A. had their number. And greatly right now, the playoffs are in full session.
Yeah, games tonight include Penguins and Rangers. They are early in the first period scoreless. You also have Washington at Florida, Nashville at Colorado, and Dallas at Calgary. Paul, just looking at last night's games and the series tonight, you know, to me, I feel like if the Leafs can just get that playoff series victory, watch out, because then they're going to be playing on the house's money. This is a team that hasn't won a playoff series since 2004. I think the Lightning have won something like 15 or 16 series in that time. And just the LA Kings, it seems to me when they are a lower seed, watch out, because they tend to, I believe they won a Stanley Cup as an 8th seed back when the playoff format was like that. Yeah. Just overall thoughts on the NHL playoffs last night and just what you're looking for.
First of all, Dave McKagan, his NOJHL pension can kick rocks also. I just wanted to say that. If he's listening, I hope he is.
Yes.
Kegger, miss you, kid. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say about this. If you're the Tampa Bay Lightning,
you have got to muddy this series up, right? Like, it's obvious that the Toronto Maple Leafs are a half step, maybe even a full step ahead of you. So you're going to have to dirty this up. This is going to have to be that kind of gritty, grindy playoff hockey. If it's not, this series is over in four games. Maple Leafs look really good. And y'all that listen and know, you know that it pains me to even give any love to the Canadian hockey teams, because 1993 was a long time ago, and that's the last time they won a series or a Stanley Cup. I like these matchups. I like these matchups a lot. I kind of like yesterday's matchups more than I like today's matchups. Watch out for Florida, though. Florida and Colorado. I know those are easy picks because they were top of their respective conferences. But last year I said I felt like Florida was a year away. Fast forward 365 days, and here they are as a top seed in the NHL playoffs. I like Colorado. I like what they're doing. And as a Red Wings fan, it pains me to say that, but it's been so long since that rivalry, that thing has kind of died off now anyway. The beauty of the NHL, unlike the NBA, is anything can happen in any given series, right? Like, the NBA in this first round, for the most part, is going to be pretty chalky. As long as no superstars end up injured, you kind of can guarantee that the ones, the twos, and the threes are going to move on. The four and five matchup might be a little bit good. In the NHL playoffs, that's not necessarily the case. NHL playoff hockey is just a different beast altogether. And like I said, Tampa Bay, you got to muddy this thing up. You got to dirty it up. You got to ugly it up. Like, this has got to, it's almost got to look like the, what was it, Scott, the 1995, or maybe it was 94, New Jersey Devils with that horrible center ice trap.
Neutral zone trap, yep.
Yeah, you gotta do something to kind of, you gotta slow Toronto down. You ain't skating with those guys. They can haul, man, and they're good. And hey, how about this? The best scorer in the NHL is from Arizona. What?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to 2022.
Austin Matthews, indeed. Gentlemen, let's move on to the NBA. Detroit Pistons news, kind of. The Detroit Pistons Hall of Famer Joe Dumars was appointed as the NBA's executive vice president. President, head of basketball operations, the league announced on Monday. Dumars' first day will be May 9th. I'll go to you first, Butch. Certainly, Joe Dumars has a pretty good resume as far as an NBA player and team executive, and now he's going to be in a bigger role. Your thoughts?
I laughed when I heard about the assignment here. I bust out laughing because the NBA is getting very desperate here.
They are.
Finding some people who are very much so capable of kind of putting the NBA back in the shoes there. When I say back in the shoes, if you notice the playoffs per se there, the playoffs look like they were playing in pre-Jordan, okay? Because a lot of things went on in some of those games that I watched on Saturday and Sunday there. Needless to say more, he would be a pretty good guy there. I think he would be fair in his evaluation of things, including fines, which he's going to be in charge of when it comes down to the play and the game of keeping it respectable. I think he'll do a pretty doggone good job on it there. But again, I would really want to hear the NBA and how Joe Dumars' job is really going to actually be laid out and how much authority he's going to have in making those particular decisions there.
And Paul, looking at the NBA playoffs, game two tonight in Boston, Milwaukee, they knock off Boston in game one as the Celtics really had no answer inside for Giannis. Golden State and Memphis, the Warriors up one game to none, despite Draymond Green getting ejected on a ticky-tack flagrant two foul. The Warriors still win that game as Ja Morant misses the buzzer beater. Last night, Miami, they turned things up after trailing Philadelphia at halftime as they trailed, and Tyler Hero comes off the bench for 25 points, lifting the Heat to the game one victory in Phoenix, despite Luka Doncic getting 45 points. Chris Paul finally missed a shot after going 14 for 14 in the Suns closeout win. Suns up one game to none. Just your thoughts on the NBA playoffs in those four series.
So real quick here, Draymond Green has a history of doing that. Dirty dirt bags for Michigan State.
Come on.
Tyler Hero. Butch, Tyler Hero from where? Where did he play his college ball?
Oregon.
He's a Michigan guy.
No, he is from Michigan here, man. And doggone, he's doing doggone quite well. A lot of Michigan.
He is. I wish Michigan had a guy like Tyler Hero right now. They need someone that can shoot a three. Anyway, I digress. You know what? Again, the NBA playoffs, like, wake me up when we get to the conference finals, Scott. The ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours all won in the first round. Snore. The ones are all up. The ones and twos are all up 1-0 in the second round. Snore. Boston is leading Milwaukee right now, 32-21 at the end of the first quarter. But, yeah, give it time. Like, I don't know, like, I can't get excited about the NBA playoffs. I want to, but like, I just, it does nothing for me at all. Give me a good NCAA basketball tournament or the NHL playoffs. That's how I feel about that. And Draymond Green has a history. He's going to get those calls against him time after time. Whether you agree with that or not, it is in fact the case. You have a history of getting called for flagrant fouls. You are never going to get the benefit of the doubt. Steph Curry will get the benefit of the doubt. Draymond Green will get the doubt. That's just how it's going to work. Sorry.
Butch, give us a reason to get excited about these series. I'm loving this Golden State-Memphis series. Memphis, a very young team, and what Ja Morant does out there, to me, is wonderful as far as his ability. And, you know, I'm a big Draymond Green guy. Yes, he went to Michigan State. That's kind of the obvious reason. But he's one of those old-school players that does a lot of things besides flagrant fouls, I might add, that helps Golden State. Your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, Butch?
Well, you speak of old school. Right now, some of the officiating reminds me of some old school thing. The officials are letting a lot of things go, and it's causing hardship on some of the teams. Philadelphia is for an example there. Phoenix didn't miss a beat, you know, but they're missing some players there as well there. Memphis, I thought a little bit more of them, but Golden State, they prevailed. Poole came off the bench and showed everybody that he belonged.
Michigan guy.
Boston, on the other hand, I think they're going to tie up the series tonight. Right now, they're doing a pretty good job with Milwaukee. So I think that will go seven games, no doubt. I think Miami, if they're the team that I think they are, might edge out Philadelphia, being that Philadelphia don't have their main pieces in place. And James Harden is not the player that he once was many long years ago. Phoenix, I think they'll get over the hump with Dallas, although Dallas will make that very competitive. And the Memphis and the Golden State thing there, it speaks for itself there, okay? I just spoke, and they got a lot of pieces right now. This is going to be pretty rough there.
Yeah, I think the home teams get back in the series, both with Boston and Memphis tonight. I just see a lot of these series going a very long ways. The only one I don't see going a long way is Miami-Philadelphia. Embiid, it looks like he's going to be out for game two, and boy, they need him because, like you said, Butch Harden, he's not the player he once was, and having to carry that team right now, he's not getting a lot of help, although we did see a little help last night. I just don't see Philadelphia making much of a move. Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will dive into the NFL draft. Certainly lots to talk about, and we will talk about it coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
7:33 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports and our special guest, Paul Van Wagner from ESPN Blacksburg's The Drive, Monday through Friday. You can hear that show from 4 to 6 p.m. And Paul, how do our listeners find your show? How can they listen to it live?
Very easy, Scott. They can download the ESPN Blacksburg app. You can go to your App Store or your Google Play Store. Just search for ESPN Blacksburg. You can download the app. You can take the station with you anywhere, anytime, or online at ESPNBlacksburg.com. There's a Listen Live tab right at the top of the page, and you can tune into The Drive every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 and listen to some sports talk and a lot of tomfoolery and some inane arguing and a lot of stupidity. It's fun.
It's a great show, and I encourage all our listeners to the game to tune in to The Drive. Butch, we'll go to you first for the Detroit Lions and the NFL draft, which took place this past Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Las Vegas. The Lions with the second pick take Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan. Real no surprise there as far as a type of player the Lions were looking for. They get him as Trayvon Walker goes to Jacksonville, so it makes the choice for the Lions a bit easier. And then things got very interesting. The Lions, who initially had the 32nd pick, they trade up with the Minnesota Vikings and take Jameson Williams out of Alabama, the wide receiver who many thought was the best one in the draft. However, he did get injured in the SEC championship game, so his availability at the beginning of the season is in question, at least at the initial point of the season. In the second round, the Lions get Josh Pascal out of Kentucky at edge, and in the third round, Kirby Joseph, a safety out of Illinois. The Lions had other picks, but Butch, give us the rundown as far as your thoughts on what the Lions did. Again, it's a wait and see thing because on paper, drafts always look good in April, but once the actual rosters and training camp, and if they make the team, then things sometimes get different. Your thoughts before we go to Paul for his.
Very good one there. I would say, as far as the league rates it, they rated one of the top teams that drafted players. Again, I challenge everybody that you look at those names on the draft list for the Detroit Lions and see how many hit the roster when it comes down to late August, early September there. That's what's going to really tell me how good this draft really was when it comes down to retaining the players and what players are going to be going bye-bye, you know, as far as having a job is concerned there. The biggest surprised with me was Jameson Williams there, which they do need. They need a breakaway wide receiver where a quarterback can air the ball out. I think Jeff Goff is very good at airing out a ball. We have not had a speed receiver that can get away from players there and whatnot. Then this will be a great addition. I think the big problem with this particular situation, will he start the season or will they give him the low tag where he has to wait 6 games in order to show his wares there. Another surprise pick was James Mitchell, tight end from some school there.
Virginia Tech, baby.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you. You're too long here, buddy. But that was a huge surprise pick. And I've seen Mitchell play. Obviously, to me, he's higher than a 6th-round pick. I was very lucky that the Lions, you know, were still able to retain the guy there. Very muscular indeed there. Very good blocker, okay? Excellent blocker there. And pretty good hands there as far as catching the ball there. His longevity, we'll see what happens to that. But again, Detroit did pretty good. Went to Jackson State and got a a good edge player in James Hudson there, 6'1", 241 pounds. Their lines are trying to break him in as a linebacker or put him on special teams, per se, and let him work from there and get the experience needed to kind of maybe break the starting lineup, maybe one day, shape, form, or fashion there. But the Lions did pretty doggone well there. Again, you don't have the mini camps, which will probably happen within another week. Then again, you got the other residual times that the players can show on up and learn the playbook and all there. So this is a process there. I don't think the Lions are through. I think they're going to make some deals to get some veteran players in there who can prove themselves and want to be in the Detroit. Because right now, the culture that they're selling right now is getting flames under it.
And Paul, you and I were texting during the draft, especially about the second round pick. I thought they should go quarterback, and you and it seems like most of the NFL thought that they shouldn't. Your thoughts on the Detroit Lions draft? Certainly one of the more exciting first rounds for the Lions in quite some time. Your thoughts?
Last time the Lions had a first round like that, Scott, they traded up and they got another kid out of Virginia Tech by the name of Kevin Jones. Ended up being a pretty decent running back for him for about 4 years until injuries got to him. You know, the Lions made some moves. They did some things that really impressed me. You and I talked about this on the drive on Thursday. You know, we were discussing, did we really think that Trayvon Walker was going to be the pick by Jacksonville, or was that just some sort of smoke show? I was fully convinced that that was just smoke and mirrors, and that, you know, when it came time, Aiden Hutchinson was going to be the pick. And when Roger Goodell walked up to the stage and said, with the first pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Trayvon Walker, I turned to my wife, who was sitting next to me, and I said, the Lions should just turn their pick in right now. Like, there's no, you're not fielding calls, you're not taking yep. your time, you're not thinking about this. Like, you had two cards. You had Aiden Hutchinson on one card, and you had whoever your two was on the other card. If it was Trayvon Walker, tear that up, throw it away. He already got picked. If it was some other guy, tear that up, throw it away, and just hand your Aiden Hutchinson card to Roger Goodell. Essentially, that's what happened. As soon as I said that to my wife, I looked up, and it said the pick was in. Butch mentioned James Mitchell. Here's what I'm going to tell you guys. Prior to tearing his ACL during last season, Mitchell was considered to be maybe the best tight end in this NFL draft. The kid can scoot. He's got wheels. He has hands. You can flex him out in like a Dallas Clark in Indianapolis kind of a way. And he is going to be a target. The beautiful thing for the Detroit Lions is you've already got TJ Hockenson. So James Mitchell becomes that complementary player to TJ Hockenson. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch at the tight end, guys. He is a player and he'll be fine with that ACL. He's going to contribute, I think, from day one. He's going to be that guy that early on in the season, people are going to be like, why is Goff going to this Mitchell guy and not to Hockenson? It's because Hockenson is being double and triple teamed and Mitchell is open and getting himself open and he's catching balls. The kid's got huge hands from Big Stone Gap, Virginia. That's an actual town, nice. Believe it or not. The kid is from coal country. He comes from a blue collar family. He's got that blue collar work ethic. He's going to fit in just fine in Detroit. As far as Aiden Hutchinson and the rest of the defensive picks are concerned, Scott, I just have three words for you. Kneecap biting. That's where we're going with this. So I'm very excited for what the Lions did. Now, I do have to temper that, Scott, because you know, I know, Butch knows, Lions fans know, August 1st, guys start dropping off like flies. So hopefully that doesn't happen to the Lions this year. I like what they're doing. I think they're probably still a year or so away. Just got to be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think that what you'll see is you'll see some upward trajectory from the Lions, maybe similar to what we saw with the Red Wings early on this season. Hopefully they don't have the fall off late in the year.
Yeah, I thought the Lions did a very good job to address many of their needs, and they have some. Obviously, maybe a linebacker or safety a little earlier in the draft, but you know it's pretty unrealistic to get everything you want in a draft. They use 6 of their 8 picks on defense, where they desperately need the most help. And the thing I like, and again, I don't know a ton about the players they drafted, but I think one of the common denominators is, you know, a lot of elite athletes, especially in the early pick, and I like these guys' character and love of the game of football. That seems to be the type of guys that you want on any team, and certainly fits the Dan Campbell mentality. So I think the Lions did very well, and again, only time will tell, and as a long-suffering Lions fan, I know you guys can agree, it always looks good in April, May, June, even July, but come August, things can sometimes unwind and unravel, I should say, and let's hope they don't. Yeah. Real quick, guys, just overall, you know, there's always winners and losers of the draft. We're not going to be able to get to all of them due to time. You know, Baker Mayfield, he's still at Cleveland. He didn't get moved anywhere. Maybe Cleveland's looking at Deshaun Watson saying, we're not too sure if this is all going to work out. University of Georgia, how about that? 15 players were selected in the draft. That is a record. And, you know, a couple of the teams I thought did very well. I thought the New York Jets had a good draft, getting a cornerback out of Ohio State at 4 with Gardner, and then getting a wide receiver of Paul's favorite university, the Ohio State University, Garrett Wilson at 10. Thought Philadelphia did pretty good as well, getting A.J. Brown from Tennessee, and then a pretty good draft as well. Butch, I'll go to you first. Any other thoughts on the NFL draft as far as winners and losers or some surprises? What are your thoughts?
The losers are going to stay losers, and the winners will be winners there. Again, we can't base the winners and losers by what they got or what actual teams really drafted there. I think you're going to look at the bottom of the envelope there and find out what the Lions do to deal with those deficiencies. One mention was that quarterback there. And as long as Mr. Mayfield is available, it could be, that the Lions might go after this guy, give him some incentives, okay, in case they and have a reputable backup to Jared Goff, because they don't have a reputable backup if anything would happen to that particular quarterback. Lions need to be smart. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. The Lions need a very good quarterback to cite Jared Goff, who is a better than average quarterback there, and a Baker Mayfield and a humble Baker Mayfield might be the thing that the Lions will bring into play where it will help the team and not hurt it.
I like that one, Butch. Paul, I'll ask you the same question, just maybe some winners or losers, surprises, just overall thoughts on the draft.
I thought the Jets won the draft. I mean, that's easy to say when you've got 3 picks in the first round, but you know, they addressed 3 very glaring needs. They got 3 guys that can absolutely play at this level. I think the Baltimore Ravens also had an amazing draft.
Yeah.
Getting the safety out of Notre Dame, John Harbaugh was on with the guys from ESPN during the draft, and you know, he said we had him in to visit. We had Hamilton in to visit, and I said to him, I said, what are you even doing here? You're not going to be available to us at 14. And he said, kind of as the draft was playing out, he turned to the general manager when they were about 2 picks away, and he said, Hamilton? And the general manager looked at him and was like, maybe. And sure enough, it happened. And that was another one of those situations, I think, very similar to the Lions with Aiden Hutchinson, right? Hamilton fell to them and they just went ahead and turned in their card. We're not fielding calls. We're not messing around. We want this guy. To me, the team that lost the draft, guys, was the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick doing Bill Belichickian things, like drafting guard Cole Strange out of Chattanooga 29th. Cole Strange had a 3rd round grade at best. You know, I get that, you know, Bill Belichick thinks he's smarter than everyone else, but you could have got Cole Strange in the 2nd round, probably even the 3rd round. I just don't understand what they're doing in New England. We'll see if this works out. honestly, though, I mean, not a real good draft for Bill Belichick. I don't think he really knows what to do when he picks before 46.
You don't think Bailey Zappe is the next Tom Brady out of Houston Baptist there in the fourth round? Wow, that was quite a surprise, no. Paul.
Yeah, no, I really don't. I mean, I just think that, again, you know, I feel like this is one of those things where Belichick is like, oh, watch what I can do if you give me crappy guys or guys that nobody knows about. I'll turn them into pros. And yeah, I mean, he does it from time to time, but like at some point, I don't know, the shine kind of wears off this, if you ask me. We'll see. I don't know.
Gentlemen, we're going to take our final break of the night. We come back, we'll touch on a couple more sports and have our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Reed Metals and Tafter, your honest main source recycling business, hopes everyone is staying safe. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals also buys copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals. Reed Metals wants to pay you for your scrap metals and scrap vehicles. Reed Metals also offers roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com. Reed Metals, conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, and Z Series motors and Sidekick utility vehicles, where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Skinner's of Pickford, your tractor source in the north, Pickford, Michigan. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer. You can catch podcasts of The Game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
$7.50 on The Game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports and our special guest, Paul Van Wagner, host of The Drive on ESPN Blacksburg. Gentlemen, the world of soccer has Champions League semifinals happening, and we have one team already into the final, Liverpool. They reach another Champions League final as they knock off Villarreal today, 3-2, winning on aggregate 5-3. Paul's going to explain aggregate here coming up in a moment. The match tomorrow, Manchester City is at Real Madrid. Manchester City won the first leg 4-3, and the winner of that one will advance to the championship final, which will be on Saturday, May 28th. It was scheduled for Russia. Obviously, that's not happening. That has been moved to Paris. Butch, Liverpool going for the first ever quadruple in England. They won the Carabao Cup. They're still alive in the Champions League, still alive in the Premier League and the FA Cup. You're seeing more and more soccer on network television. I know you talked about the Champions League on your show Sunday. Looks like it could be another all Premier League final in the Champions League.
And it shows them good soccer, too. Golly. Good games here on CBS, especially when they're covering the Champions League there. You know, Liverpool, no team in England has really played that triple play type of drive that right now Liverpool is giving them. Do I think they're going to make it all the way through the get-go? I think Man City's going to have something to say about that. That's just my opinion there. But again, a 6-0 record ain't nothing to, they're the only team that haven't been beaten up here. So they're in, and we're waiting for the Man City and Real Madrid on tomorrow's game at 3 o'clock there. 3 o'clock, kiddies, okay? So get your whip, man.
It's going to be cool. Yeah, it's going to be a wild one, Paul. I know you're not the biggest soccer guy, but certainly you're seeing more and more on network television. More and more viewers are watching it. Your thoughts on the Champions League and just soccer in this country? I know you're not the biggest soccer guy, but you got to admit, it's getting a lot more attention.
It is getting a lot more attention. I'm just trying to figure out when Constantinople gets to play against the USSR, and hopefully East Germany and Prussia meet up. I'm really looking forward to the matchup between South Vietnam and the United Arab Republic. Scott, this is what I'm waiting for. Give me the World Cup. Those teams could move on. I'm just excited for West Germany to take on Zaire. That's where I'm at with all of this. I have no idea what you're even talking about. And aggregate, let me tell people what aggregate is all about. So you got your field, and what you do is you plow your field, and then you plant crops in your field, and they grow. That's aggregate.
Something like that, Paul. We'll give you that one.
Wagner's rendition of When the Levee Broke.
Yes, When the Levee Broke, yeah. Indeed. Yes. Yeah. Real quick, guys, we always talk about wrestling on this show. Butch, give us an update. What's going on in the WWE and the AEW?
Pretty much a lot more action than WWE brought around. I watched a little bit of Raw last night there, and was not impressed there. They have more of this. I'm trying to sell this big backlash particular game. They, matter of fact, they changed the match over where Roman Reigns is going to be involved in the goodies. And also my man from Scotland there. So I think some changes are going to be made in order to get the fan base to kind of respect this and watch it. It's kind of wacky, but the AEW right now is matches after matches after matches. Very little sideline chatter or whatever it may be, or shop talk there. And they give them some good premium wrestling matches there. So I think right now the WWE got some pressure to make this backlash thing a big hit.
And Paul, you and I have been wrestling fans for a while. I don't know how much you watch these days, but I've been watching more. If I watch it, AEW, it reminds me of the old WCW. You got the same broadcasters. Yep. It just seems a more real thing, less talking. Your thoughts?
Yep. Yeah, I agree, Scott. I'm looking at the card right now for the Backlash pay-per-view, and this has zero intrigue to me. You're not going to have the Universal or the WWE Championship defended. In fact, Roman Reigns and the Usos going to do a tag team with Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. Don't like that. You got to have your title on the line. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins Part 2 and AJ Styles versus Edge are kind of the two intriguing matches, but at the end of the day, those right now are mid-card matches. I'm all about AEW right now. In fact, I even stopped DVRing SmackDown and Raw. I just watch AEW now, and I really do enjoy it. I like the product that they have out there right now. Vince McMahon just seems completely out of touch. So give me AEW all day, every day.
Well said, sir. Let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, gentlemen. I will start. Thumbs up to the Detroit Lions for having a very efficient draft, addressing many of their needs and getting good character guys. It appears, at least on the surface and with their playing careers in Detroit, they need more of that. And so good job, Mr. Holmes, and the entire Lions organization for that. You probably won't hear me say that much over the next year, but I'm saying it tonight. Thumbs down just for the weather here in northern Michigan. You have several teams, Sioux High, Brimley, Rudyard, Pickford. They've yet to get a home game in due to field conditions and the weather. Thumbs down to the weather. Thumbs up to the weather forecast, though. We're going to hit the 60s up here, guys, this weekend. That's Jort's weather for yours truly. Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Oh, God. Well, let's say thumbs up for a downriver rat here, Aiden Hutchinson, okay? Neighborhood kid in our area and whatnot there. Local man makes good here for the Detroit Lions, so hip hip parade for him. Thumbs down. How can I say for the Snap, Crackle, and Pop Detroit Tigers there right now at the beginning of the season? They're playing like they ate a bowl of Fruit Loops, and right now they're not doing very good at all. Starting pitching has to improve. Also, their defense there. They get those two things straightened out, I think everything else will work out for itself.
Paul Van Wagner, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Scotty, it's almost 8 o'clock right now. It's 72 degrees here in Thurston.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I'm gonna start with my thumbs down. Thumbs down goes to Fox Sports. Y'all are really thinking about bringing Urban Meyer back? Come on, man. Like, that dude has zero credibility. What are you doing? Like, is this some kind of joke? Like, okay. Like, I get it. You need a coach. Find a different coach. There's other coaches available. Urban Meyer is not the guy. That's a bad move if you're Fox Sports. Don't do it. They're going to do it. Don't do it. It's a bad move. Thumbs up. This isn't going to get a lot of love where you guys are, but I got to give thumbs up to the Virginia Tech Hokies. The men's baseball team right now ranked number 5 in the nation.
Wow.
The women's softball team
ranked
number two in the nation, guys. This is Virginia Tech potentially is going to be hosting regional baseball for both baseball and softball here in Blacksburg. And right now the women are locked in as long as they win their region to host a super region. The men potentially could also be hosting a super region. That's never happened in Blacksburg. If you're not a fan of college baseball or softball, I encourage you to check it out. You can watch it on the ESPN app, ESPN Plus. Right now, that's what I'm doing. I'm watching the Hokies take on Liberty. This is a slugfest right now. Liberty's pretty damn good, too. They're 21-0 in the A-Sun. So it's definitely not a cakewalk for Virginia Tech, but definitely check this out if you got an opportunity. Good baseball, good softball in Blacksburg, Virginia right now.
Gentlemen, we are out of time. Paul, appreciate you joining our show. We'll get you on here in the upcoming future. And Butch, as always, appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday night for our next edition of The Game. Have a great night, guys, and thanks again for a great show.
All righty.
Thanks, Scotty.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Again, we'll be on Tuesdays for the month of May, and if you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it a little bit later on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. For Paul Van Wagner, Butch Davis, and our special guest, Mark Yule, my name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night for our next edition of The Game here on News Talk 1400.